Ever wonder about questions that don't seem to have solid answers? Like, if God is so good, then why is there so much suffering in the world? Or why should we trust the Bible, and who wrote it anyway? Maybe you found the answers, but they didn't fully satisfy you. Well, welcome to Straight from the Bible, where you can find real answers from God's Word. Give us a call if something's on your heart. You can call us right now at 472-1111 or in the CNMI at 323-1113. You can also text or WhatsApp your questions to 671-686-9999. And now, straight from the Bible.
Hafaday, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Thank you for coming, Pastor Rylan.
Hey, no worries. Hey, and our listeners as well, viewers, I believe, on Facebook. And so, Scott, I'm excited. I mean, it's been a while since we kind of answered some questions, and especially you and I working together, right? So,
yes.
And so, I'm excited. Again, for those who don't know me, I'm Pastor Rylan. I'm the pastor for Agani Heights Seventh-day Adventist Church. And definitely, I know we have some questions, and might get into a little bit of a Bible study with one of them, and so
yes.
But tell me, Scott, so what's the order of business? What should we do first?
Okay, we should pray first.
Amen. Before we looking into the God's word, we should always pray, right?
Yes.
And so let's say a word of prayer. Father God Almighty, Lord, as we are going to just dive into your word, Father, we ask for wisdom in the sermon. Mm-hmm. I want to pray for our listeners and our viewers, Lord, those that are either on the road right now or even those just on Facebook. Father, I want to pray for them and their families at this moment. Lord, may you be glorified through this program. We love you. I pray all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Like what Pastor Rylan said, we're streaming live on Facebook, so you can watch the video there. Mm-hmm. And if you have a Bible question, go ahead and leave it in the comment section, and we'll answer it the next following Monday.
Right.
And if you hear this broadcast at any time, it's a rebroadcast. Mm-hmm. You can listen live online, joyfmradio.net.
So right now we're live, but anyone who hears this later.
Yes, later. Okay. Thursdays we play a rebroadcast on. With that said, we have our first question.
Sure.
Okay. Our first question is, how do you know if you're called to be a pastor or called to ministry?
Or called to ministry. Okay. That's a great question. How do you know if you're called to be a pastor or called to ministry? You know, I feel like that's going to be like a part 2, part 3, because depending on which pastor you ask, they're going to have different. I can only side from my side as to how I was called. But Scott, I know you're not a pastor or anything, but I just want to understand what do you think? What would you say is your opinion on how do you know if you're called to be a pastor or called to ministry?
Okay, I'm going to take it from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what the Bible says. Just let me pull it up.
No worries.
All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, mm-hmm. rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness.
Mm. And so with that scripture, how does that formulate your answer into how do you know if you're called to be a pastor or a ministry?
Well, if the Holy Spirit is leading you to something, you will know if it's God leading you in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Or if the Holy Spirit is leading you to a ministry or a pastor direction. Mm-hmm. Like, say if I pray and I say, oh, Heavenly Father, I want to be a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And then we don't wait for the right calling or listen to God's voice. And it's our nature to make it happen ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So you mean like we then are like going out and sending resumes out and doing things, trying to make it, take the initiative is
yes.
What? Okay.
Yes. So everything, the scripture, and we would know if the scripture is in our heart and if we're using the Bible as answers or even teaching according to the Bible.
Amen. I will say like, you know, for some, again, I'm very dense. I'm not the smartest person in the block, you know. So for me, whenever I had to talk to God, I'm like, hey, look, hit me with a 2x4, like just so I know for a fact that, you know, that's you speaking to me. Well, you know, of course, yeah, I haven't been hit on the head by 2x4, but, you know, I recognize those times when it is God speaking it. For me, with my experience, the way that, at least, truth be told, like, you know, even for a while, even when I was studying theology, right, and studying to be a pastor, I would question that. I'd be like, mm-hmm. Lord, am I meant to be a pastor? You know, because with my experience, you know, I was into drugs and alcohol and cigarettes and weed, you name it, pills, mm-hmm. all that stuff. You know, meeting up with gang members, all these things in the States. So for me, it's one where when the Lord changed my life around, at the heart of it was me just like, Lord, I want to give my life to you. I want to serve you. I want to do what you want me to do, right? And the best way I thought of was, oh, let me be a pastor. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, what better way for me to give my whole heart to Christ than just living a life for him and telling others about his goodness and his grace. Mm-hmm. Even when I was studying theology, I mean, you know, I've said this many times, but I'll be with fellow classmates and,
right.
you know, here they are talking about like the Bible, like they know it back and forth. They maybe grew up in the church, like their parents have been in the church for mm-hmm. how long. And here I am coming and I'm like, Ten Commandments. That's in Exodus. Okay. Was Abraham in before Noah or was Noah, you know, I was asking those very basic questions, but here, and you know, even in my experience where I even had it where some of my professors and they were saying like, oh, maybe, you know, you shouldn't be, maybe you should change your major to a different, to religion or something else. But at the end of it, for me, I was like, but Lord, I just want to serve you. I want to tell people about you. And over time, God has, of course, affirmed that, you know, he's called me to ministry and to be a pastor. And really, I think it's definitely that, what you said, that prayer, that communicating to God mm-hmm. and saying, Lord, is this your will for me? Do you really right. want me to be a pastor? Because many times people think, oh man, you're a pastor. Hey, you're only busy on the day that you worship, right? Like, mm-hmm. so whether you're worshiping on Saturday or a Sunday, whatever, oh, you're only mm-hmm. busy that day.
You're
what
right.
else you got to do? You're free the rest of the week. But but no, you're really dealing with people who are affected by sin, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's one where it's a mess. I mean, with homes and families that are a mess. And so definitely, like, I mean, the first time when I came into the church, right, I had it where, I mean, a lady just cussed me out. Like, you know,
wow.
that was my first experience. And I was like, whoa, okay then. Well, all right then. So, you know, but it is one where definitely you got to be in prayer, talking to God and seeing, like, And just a reminder, God can use you in whatever aspect, right? Whether it's health, to be a doctor, or mm-hmm. whether it's, I mean, look at you here in the radio station.
Amen.
You know, and so God, definitely that prayer and talking to God, and you will see signs, you will see affirmations that mm-hmm. you recognize is God speaking to you, right? And for me, it's one where, like I said, at the end of the day, I was like, Lord, hey, I'll do whatever, even if you want, because it's not about money. It's not about prestige. It's not about anything right. like that, right? It's one where it's like, Lord, I just want to be faithful to you. I want to serve you with all my heart. And so definitely, I like what you said, going to prayer, talking to God, mm-hmm. and seeking his will out for what it is in your life. And I mean, I thought I was going to be a criminal justice major. I thought I was going to be FBI, first Palauan FBI, you know, going to solve crimes, be a detective. I love that aspect.
Uh-huh.
Little did I know that I guess me solving problem solving, like, you know, like these things in, I guess right. that's where God knew. He's like, hey, no, you're going to be a pastor.
Mm-hmm. So. That's right. And if God is trying to get our attention,
right.
he will make the impossible possible.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. I mean, it's one where you will recognize when God is talking to you and,
yes.
and leading you and guiding you. But it's really us having to come to him and saying, look, Lord, what is it that you want? And even if it seems like it's so ridiculous and it's out of your comfort zone and mm-hmm. it's out of your box, trusting in God, that's truly where he will never lead you astray.
Yes. Amen. Okay, we're moving on to the next question. Question is, if the devil turns good, would God let him back to heaven? And this question is from Luke.
Okay. Can you say the question one more time?
If the devil turns good, would God let him back to heaven?
If the devil turned good, would God let him get back to heaven? Oh, interesting question. Okay.
Yes.
What do you think, Scott? What's your take on that?
Well, I'm just going to say, I think the devil had many chances.
Mm-hmm.
And what what he put in his heart. Like say if I see a car, mm-hmm. okay, and I put it in my mind, like, wow, that's a nice car. Mm-hmm. That guy, mm-hmm. oh man, look at that. It's even red. It's my color. It changes color in the daylight too, and it looks black at night.
Right.
You know, if I put that in my head and I keep looking at his car,
right.
My heart is going to want it.
Right.
Is going to want what that person has. Mm-hmm. And I might just do something mm-hmm. to let me take it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the same as the devil. The devil watch, I guess I can say the devil watch God create the earth, mm-hmm. make all these flowers, mm-hmm. create Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that the devil put in his heart and he wanted to control.
Mm.
Adam and Eve.
Have the worship kind of similar to like what God doing and everything and interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, you said some point there. You said where, you know, like with the heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know in the Bible it talks about how where God had hardened Pharaoh's heart.
Right.
Right. And it wasn't because God wanted to, but because Pharaoh was making these choices, these decisions, right? And hardened. And because of that, God then is like, okay, if that's the choice you're gonna decide, then that's the consequence. This is the result of that decision, right? Where Pharaoh's heart was hardened,
right?
And I think exactly this is a great question because we can go so deep in this, but I agree with you. There was a time where you know every single chance was given to Satan. Right, to repent, to turn mm-hmm. his heart around, to ask for forgiveness, but it got to a point where he pretty much committed the unpardonable sin. Right, there was no hope anymore. He made that final decision that on his own mm-hmm. that he would not serve God, and as a result, he became the adversary. Right, he became Lucifer, became Satan, the adversary.
Yes,
And it's a reminder for us, like we look at Noah, right? For instance, Noah preached 120 years telling people, turn your hearts, repent, but they didn't. And it's the same with us. There's a certain point, God is merciful to mm-hmm. us, but when we just choose to deny him more and more and more and more, and obviously there's a point where God says, okay, I mean, you've made your choice, like you don't want to be with me.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he's reached out, even though he's tried, even though we feel like, you know, again, God's mercy can run forever, there's a point where he says, okay, what can I do when you've made your choice?
Yes.
That 100% you don't want to deal with God at all, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Satan, he made his choice. So now it's too late. You know, now there is no hope for Satan. And that's why he's attacking. That's why he's going after, you know, God's people and those that are serving God, because he knows his time is short, right? He knows that time is so close to when Christ will be coming so very soon that he's out for vengeance. Mm-hmm. He doesn't care if you're old or young, male, female, whatever. He's out to get anyone, right, mm-hmm. to his side. And so, yeah, I mean, definitely there was a time, but mm-hmm. right now it's one where it's way long past, right,
yes.
that he's made his decision.
Right.
And sadly, that's where it's gone.
Yes. So. And Isaiah chapter 14, mm-hmm. verse 13 through 14, this is Satan, what he was saying. Isaiah 14, verse 13 through 14.
Mm-hmm.
You said in your heart, well, I guess this is the Lord saying that,
mm-hmm.
hearing what Satan said in his heart.
Right, right.
Okay. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
I will raise my throne above the stars of God.
Mm-hmm.
I will sit enthroned on the mountain of assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon.
Mm-hmm.
I will ascend above the top of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High.
Mm. I mean, already... this is one that I've heard so many people say. Satan had an eye problem, right? Like, you know, it was too many eye.
Oh, that's right.
So an eye problem, right?
And yeah. So,
but yeah, like, and so now it's become where he's no longer looking selfless, right? Like mm-hmm. for the care of others. Now he's looking just inward, selfish, mm-hmm. wanting all the worship, wanting things for himself, and it's. And by the time, just so letting you know, by the time that Adam and Eve, right, come into the picture,
mm-hmm.
right, and obviously Satan's already, he's already now Satan. He's trying to win Adam and Eve. He's tempting them. So Satan had made his decision even way before Adam and Eve were created.
Right.
Right. And so, and you can find in the Bible, and you give a good, that's a good text that, that shows exactly the problem that he had, the eye problem.
Yeah, so. there you go.
So, yeah, so going back again to the question, could if the devil turns good, would God turn him, lead him back to heaven? Sadly, Satan will not make that choice ever, right?
Yes.
It's gone. It's too late. He doesn't even desire it. And so now he's trying to just bring utmost destruction to anyone and everyone. Right. So.
And what I'm thinking in my head is that's kind of like how we, the unpardonable sin for us, you know, you know, that's a whole different question, but that just came to my head.
Right, right.
When we can't repent anymore because we've committed the unpardonable sin.
Right. And it's not that God is not willing to forgive, right? I mean, he's there to forgive, but one thing especially for us with the unpardonable sin is obviously the Bible says, if we 1 John 1:9, right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, the condition is if we confess. So if you are not confessing your sins to God, God cannot forgive because you haven't confessed, right? So, but if you're in a state where you've grown calloused and hardened your heart and you don't even see the sin as sin, you're not going to be asking God to forgive you because you don't see it as sin. You don't see it as a wrong. And therefore, you're not asking for forgiveness. And then therefore, right? And so it's that you get to a point where even the most harshest, and even though God is showing you that this is so wrong, you've hardened your heart so much that you're just like, this is normal. I don't ask God for, you know, and that's the sad, that's the unforgiving. So I guess for encouragement for anyone, if you are feeling, man, I've committed sin so bad, or you're worried about if you've committed the unpardonable sin, just you asking that question, have I committed the unpardonable sin? You're already showing that you have not committed it.
Yes.
Right? Because you're still worried about, man, can God still forgive me? Mm-hmm. You're still wrestling with it. But if you're one where you've calloused yourself and you're just like, oh, it's fine. I can just keep doing that sin. I'm fine. I'm not. That's when you really are treading in dangerous kind of ground. Right. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for the answer.
I'll go to God, my brother.
We're moving on to the next question. The question is the Old Testament done away with Jesus' blood?
Mm. Is the Old Testament done away with Jesus' blood?
Yeah, I guess they're asking, do we still need the Old Testament?
Mm. You know, what's interesting, and I believe, and Scott, if you can look up a scripture where it says that, you know, where this question stems from. While you're doing that, let me just kind of give a little context. One thing to remember about the Bible, right, was during Jesus' time, the Bible was only the Old Testament. There was no New Testament when Jesus was alive. So many times, even Jesus himself is quoting from the Old Testament, and his scripture, his Bible, was just the Old Testament, right? And so many times you'll see, and he even says that he came to fulfill. He didn't came to destroy. He didn't came to get rid of the Bible. And so I want to paint that. And then if you have that scripture where it talks about how it's been nailed or done away with. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. From the verse I got up is Colossians. Mm-hmm. Chapter 2, verse 13 through 14.
Mm-hmm.
And it reads, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. And verse 14, have canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away and nailed it to the cross.
Mm. So, One thing, and I've heard this before also, right? Because again, our question is, does Jesus' blood kind of pretty much nullify? Can you read our question again?
Is the Old Testament done away with Jesus' blood?
Is the Old Testament done away with Jesus' blood? And I would say no. In fact, Jesus' blood was, again, to show the fulfillment of both the Old Testament and New Testament, right? It's one where God didn't abolish it. He didn't say, okay, this is done away with. Now, I bring that up because you also are talking about the Ten Commandments, right? The Ten Commandments being in the Old Testament. I mean, if you're saying the Old Testament is done away with, you're also pretty much saying, hey, Ten Commandments is done away with. That means, can I go kill? Can I go steal? Can I go covet? Can I go lie? I don't have to honor my father and mother, right? But then many times people have also argued, well, oh, no, those ones, those are still there. But then you just said that, right? Like the Old Testament, because of what Jesus' blood, we don't have to follow those anymore. And so even when you think about it, and I have to be careful because I know some people will say, well, only the Ten Commandments is what's, you know, that we listen to, but everything else is done away with. But again, the Old Testament and New Testament, both of them are needed. You need both in order, right? It's the prophets, they tell of an account so that we don't make the same mistakes as they did in the past.
Yes.
Right? And so, yeah, you looked like you were going to say something. So,
yeah, didn't Jesus also quote from stuff from the Old Testament?
Right. Many times his quotes, when you're looking in the New Testament, is him, right, like what I said, quoting from the Old Testament scriptures. Yeah. And so it is one where, I mean, some of the things in Leviticus, right, like contextually, like for instance, when a woman was during her time of the month, right, like, you know, they did things because of the blood, and that was done in that cultural sense, right? There's so many other things, like what happens when they dealt with dead animals, or, you know, they had to be kind of away from society, you know, just because obviously they didn't have means to deal with germs, right? And so obviously if you're touching a rotting flesh and then you go in and fix your food, of course you're going to get sick.
Right.
No questions asked. And so now we do understand that. And I know some people have questioned and brought up, so what makes us determine what do we follow and what we don't follow, right?
Yes.
Again, there are different laws back then. There were ceremonial laws. There were sacrificial laws. There were all these laws that we don't have to do it now, right? Like, for instance, we don't go to the church. We don't kill a lamb or sacrifice any animals anymore because that's been done away with because the perfect lamb had been sacrificed, right? Christ. And if we were to follow it again, that just shows that we don't believe that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice, right? So there are some things, again, but obviously I'm pretty sure the Ten Commandments applies in all times at all places, right? It makes sense. Yeah, I'm not going to kill someone because I love, if God loves, we are to love God and to love others, then if I love you, then I'm not going to kill you, right?
Right.
So,
yes, and our Lord is love.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
All right. I believe that our break is coming up. Our halftime. And don't go away. We're coming back with more straight from the Bible.
Amen.
Unearthed from beneath the sands of time, there are ancient writings containing ageless wisdom. Millions are finding these words are life-changing even today. Listen and discover ancient wisdom. The people in the Bible went through many of the same struggles that we face, and their experiences can give us wisdom for life, business, and relationships. Moses was once the only judge over hundreds of thousands of Israelites. He was facing burnout when some close advisors helped him learn to delegate. King David made his two biggest mistakes in judgment at a time when things were going very well in his country. That wisdom teaches us not to let down our guard during the good times. Then there's the prophet Elijah. Immediately after he experienced something dramatic from God, raining down fire from heaven, like a coward, he ran from his enemies. He went into a time of self-doubt, loneliness, and depression, teaching us once again that even major victories will also contain hidden perils. Read these stories and more in the Bible. Then you can act on the Bible's ancient wisdom. From Biblica at Biblica.com. Thanks for listening to
Joy FM.
Silence,
dear God,
can be loud.
Help.
The loss of a friend, family member, job can intensify the silence.
Do you see me, God?
How can others live life as if nothing's wrong?
My soul is weary with sorrow.
I will turn mourning into gladness. I will give comfort and joy instead of sorrow.
You, Lord, turn my darkness into light.
Encouragement through each step of grief. From Joy FM.
Welcome back to the second half of Straight from the Bible. Call right now with your Bible question. In Guam, it's 472-1111. In the CNMI, it's 323-1113. You can email your questions anytime to Bible at joyfmradio.net, submit them online at joyfmradio.net, or message us on Facebook at facebook.com/joyfmradio. Join us now for the second half of Straight from the Bible.
Half a day, and welcome back to Straight from the Bible. You can call in your question on Guam 671-472-1111 in the CNMI 670-323-1113. We're streaming live on Facebook, so you can leave your comment in the comment section below, and we'll get your question answered next Monday. If you hear this program at any other time besides today, that means it's a rebroadcast. Half a day, Pastor.
Hey, Scott. It's funny because I was going to joke and say, well, so if I listen to this tomorrow and you say today, then that means it's live then. But yeah. No, man, there have been some good questions.
Like, yes, there have.
And so,
okay.
I think there was one that I if you don't mind me reading.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
So it says, Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. When God said this in this time, is it still applicable in our time? So Jeremiah 33:3.
Jeremiah 33:3. That's mm-hmm. a good verse. Is it still applicable mm-hmm. to our time?
Right. And what do you think, Scott?
I think it is. You know, just like what we read, the Bible is for teaching, mm-hmm. reproof,
mm-hmm. And right.
Right. And, you know, and it's still we, and for training in righteousness,
right.
and for correcting.
Right.
And up to this time, the Bible is still it even deals with our time now,
right?
You know, is what I'm trying to say.
Right. No, and I agree. Definitely, it's one where, you know, I mean, even just the words, right? Call to me, and I will answer you and
right.
tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. I mean, it's why when we pray, right, and we, especially if you're seeking God, you know, you're genuinely looking for the truth and trying to understand God and know more about Him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Bible is very clear that God, like a father, is so willing to just come and be like, hey, yes, okay, you know, and show. There may be some questions that you might ask that maybe at that moment or time, it might be too much for you. So God is then going to just reveal it to you later. But mm-hmm. doesn't mean that he's saying, no, not yet. Like, but, you know, he's just saying, hey, right now you're not ready for it. Here, let me share you some more truths. And I bring that up because actually Joy FM was one of the radio stations that I had questions about, you know.
Mm.
And so going back to the previous question also, just the whole, you know, what, because that's one of the questions I asked, like the same exact question, like kind of I asked to my professors at PUC, Pacific Union College, and I asked, hey, why do we separate these texts from these? Like, why don't we just take the whole book and apply it to today? And,
uh-huh.
and I was driving in Micro Mall and, you know, looking for parking, and it was Straight from the Bible, and I think at that time was Pastor Mofness who was talking. I'm driving, and all of a sudden and they asked the same exact question I had. So I parked it, and I'm like, okay, let me listen. Like, and that's when they said, you know, the difference between ceremonial laws and all these things, and I was like, oh, okay, wow. And, you know, that's after years after I had, like, graduated from college.
Wow.
And, you know, so many times God will definitely, with your questions, you know, just like what this text says in Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you,
mm-hmm.
and I will tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Yeah, it is very applicable even in our day and age where, you know, God will give you light and answer questions that you may be searching for, mm-hmm. but at the same time, always, just because maybe he's telling you wait doesn't mean that you're like, oh, see, God didn't answer, I'm going to drop, I quit. Like, no, just definitely keep in that communication with
That's
God.
That's right.
Like, for my daughter, I'm not going to just all of a sudden tell her, like, you know, advanced, you know, physics and chemistry and all that.
Right.
Because for her, she's still learning about addition. And, you know, so it's the same concept where God is very merciful to us. He knows when is it appropriate to, okay, hey, now Scott knows that. Here, let me now add that next layer. So
yes, just like I was at worship, right? And the pastor, I think his name is Pastor Ryland.
Okay. Man, I was thinking of some other pastor. Okay.
Yeah. I think his name is Pastor Ryland. And I didn't know this. And you were talking about Jesus on the cross. Mm. It was a communion. It was a high Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And you were talking about Jesus nailed on a cross. And I didn't know that he had two drinks. They offered him two drinks. Mm. The first one he didn't take because I guess it was something to numb with the pain.
Right. It was wine mixed with myrrh.
Right.
And that was meant to kind of numb the pain, to deafen the pain. So those who were taking it, they were under the influence and they wouldn't feel it, the suffering of being on the cross, right?
Mm-hmm. And he turned that one away. Mm-hmm. But the one he did was the one with the...
Where you were still conscious, and you felt the full effects of the suffering and everything, right?
See, so of course we learn, the more we open the Bible and the more we study His Word, like what you said, He's going to show us... Mm-hmm. Different places where to find another verse to learn something new.
Amen. And exactly what you said, line upon line, precept upon precept, right? You know, it builds each other. The Bible is like a puzzle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got to be going and searching and okay, hey, oh, now that's where that piece goes.
Yes.
So, nice. Amen.
Amen. All right. Now we're moving on to our next question. Mm-hmm. And the question is, if we don't go to heaven right away, then why did Jesus tell the two thieves on the cross that they will be in paradise?
Okay. So this is where they're the two thieves. So Christ is crucified, right? It's the surely I say to you, truly you will be with me in paradise. Mm-hmm. Scott, if you're able to look that up, I believe it will be in Luke. Let me also, Luke 23, I believe. Okay. And if you can read, let's go ahead and do maybe 42, 43.
Okay. I just pulled it up. Luke chapter 23, verse 42 through 43.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think sorry. You know, I'm not the best typist, but there it is. See, it popped up. Amen to the Holy Spirit. Okay, verse 42. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, truly I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise.
Mm-hmm. So the question again was, when Jesus was speaking, if we don't go straight to heaven, why does Jesus give this assurance to the thieves on the cross, right?
That, yes.
That they will be in paradise. So I will admit, even though, yes, I did fail Greek and I had to take it again, because of that retaking, I understand Greek a lot more now. So when this was being written, when you look at the text in Greek, so Greek, they didn't really use any punctuation, right? So the only punctuation they would have is, let's say, like a semicolon, for instance, which was like a question mark. But many times, yes, they had like the commas on top of their letters and everything like that. But in this sentence, right, in verse 43, there's a way that you can read. And it's when it was translated from Greek going into, you know, whether it was Latin to English to, right, the way that when we read it, and this is where I'm going to ask you because you see the text in front. Mm-hmm. For those who are listening, you're going to have to kind of do audibly, try to imagine it. So the text says, and he said to him, truly I say to you, comma, today you will be with me in paradise. Correct?
Correct.
So the comma comes before today.
Yes.
In Greek, the word today is an adverb, right? And in Greek, you can put an adverb anywhere in the sentence you want. So you could read this sentence as, he said to him, truly I say to you, today, comma, you shall be with me in paradise. Or, just like how it's in the Bible, truly I say to you, comma, today you will be. So either the comma will be before today or after today, which then changes the whole meaning. In other words, the question now comes, because when I say truly, I say to you today, comma, that means as I'm saying this to you within this 24 hour, as I'm saying this to you right now, surely you will be with me in paradise. But if I say truly, I say to you, comma, today you will be. Now I'm saying within this 24 hours, while I'm saying this, within this 24 hours, you will be in heaven or paradise, right? So in other words, it's changing. It's whether or not I'm emphasizing as I'm saying this, and it doesn't matter what, when you will be, but I give you the assurance you'll be in heaven, or I say this, in this very moment, you will be going
to heaven, right? Okay, yeah.
So there are two ways to kind of understand that. Obviously, paradise, if you look at the Septuagint and all these other kind of resources, they do talk about a garden, right? And pretty much it's just paradise would be heaven, right? So we understand that. Paradiso, we can go so much more, but I'm looking at time. I don't want to.
Yeah, no problem.
But the question I want to ask is, did Jesus go to paradise, to heaven, on the day of his crucifixion?
Oh, no, he didn't.
He didn't. Okay. So if Jesus himself did not go to heaven right after he was crucified, right? Because the Bible says that, and that day was preparation day,
right?
And then you had the Sabbath, and it says on the first day of the week, right? That's when they went to the tomb, and that's when they found out Jesus was alive, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if Jesus himself did not go straight to paradise or go straight to heaven, then it seems weird that they would then go to heaven and come back, right? Because
And Jesus not even there, but they went ahead of him,
right. And so the way that it's supposed to be read, the way that you interpret, is where it says the comma would come after the today, which says truly I say to you today. So truly, as I'm saying this to you in this 24 hours, as I'm saying this, no matter whatever time frame, whatever, whether it's, you know, second coming of Jesus coming, or, but the assurance is they will be in heaven at that time, right? Mm. It's not saying like, oh, in this 24 hours, you're going to go straight to heaven.
Right.
And so, and again, that then, when you line up with all these other texts in the Bible, right? You got 1 Thessalonians 4, you got 2 Corinthians, you got 1 Corinthians, you got all these texts that talk about, you got John talking about sleep, death as sleep. Then it kind of starts making sense, where it's like, okay, yeah, the thieves were just given the assurance that they will be with Jesus in heaven, but it doesn't matter when. And and the thing I like to say this is that if you're hanging on the cross and you're you know, and you ask Jesus, I think you're not worried about when you'll be in heaven,
right?
You're just worried about, will I be in heaven at all, right? And
true.
So for them, they're not looking at it like, hey, Jesus, today, can I be in heaven with you? They're not looking for that. They're just like, hey, look, Lord, I know I've sinned. I know I've done wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Can I be assured that I will be with you in heaven whenever that might be? And that was kind of the thinking of when the thieves asked the question. And so if we could go way deeper on that. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to make it as plain and simple for many of our listeners, because obviously when you read it, that's how you see it, right? But again, great question. It's one I had to do research on, you know, and so that's why I'm kind of passionate about this. I'm like, ooh, that's awesome.
Yes.
So, great question.
Yes, just like when we're at our lowest low, we always tend to want some assurance of something.
Right.
You know, like say if we're laying in the hospital, we're bedridden,
right,
and nobody comes see, and then we have all that time to think about what we done wrong in our life, and if something happens right then and there in the hospital,
right, you're not worried about like, right, oh, hey, in 2 days from now, you know, or 1 week from now, you just want to be assured that for the fact that you will be whether saved or seen or whatever it is, right?
Like, and yes,
so amen.
Hey, man, the same with the thieves on the cross. They wanted some assurance. Like, hey, brother, give us something right now. We can't do anything.
Right. You know, and this is actually a scripture that I had to kind of also wrestle with, because for me, like with my grandparents, right? You know, I'm here in Guam, they're in Palau, and, you know, it was their funeral. Now, my grandparents are not of the same religion as I am, right? I believe my grandmother, She was like Shintoism. But also, because I remember, like, she had to bring the food to the photos of her parent, you know. But right. at the same time, there in Palau, there's a religion called Motoknei, which is like a little bit of Christian elements, but also similar to here, where they, you know, I guess it's like Christian elements plus the traditional islander kind of religion, kind of mixed in with spirits and everything like that, right? And so, for me, when they passed away, I was like, man, I was going through, and I was like, Lord, like, you know, I don't know. I know you've done everything for them to be saved. And I came back to this text with the thief on the cross because you realize that for the family, for them, they're looking at the thief, and they're like, oh, there's no hope for him. You know, he's, that's it. He's already crucified. He's got his punishment and whatever. There's no hope.
Mm-hmm.
But we know from the Bible that Jesus gave the assurance to the thief that he will be saved.
Right.
And so we know for a fact that we will see the thief, right? When we're reunited and it's that resurrection and everything, we will see the thief, right? But the family, again, are looking at it. And that was one that brought me comfort because I had to think where it's like, okay, Lord, even though my grandmother and grandfather are not of the same religion as me, but I know that you would have done everything in your... everything you can for them to be saved, right? Because the Lord loves them so much. And I think it's 2 Peter where it talks about the Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, right? So even the Lord, the Bible says, he's not willing for anyone to perish. So just words of comfort for any of our listeners, viewers, that, you know, many times we may not know what's taking place, you know, in the unseen, but God is doing everything he can for someone to be saved and to be added to the kingdom, right? So, but yeah, I'm sorry, I'm going on a tangent.
No,
this is exciting.
It.
So that's
yes,
why
it is. And I was also rereading the question, and it says, if we don't go to heaven right away, I got a Bible verse that says we're sleeping.
Okay, go ahead.
Would you like to hear it?
Yes, yes.
Okay, from Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5, and this is the New International Version. We read, for the living know that they will die, and the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, and even their name is forgotten. So this is telling me that we don't know anything once we're dead and we're lying there, we're sleeping. And even our loved ones, for a moment, you know, we're mourning, we're saying good, we're saying our goodbyes. But even with that, the living, our loved ones, they're not going to remember us anymore.
Right.
You know?
And I think definitely, like, you know, what you mentioned there also, right? Where for us being alive, we're conscious. We know. Like, I'm aware, okay, Scott is in Joy FM right now. You know, like, there are listeners in the car. I'm conscious of that. But like what you just read, but the dead know nothing. It's like a sleep. Like, when I'm asleep, I don't know where my wife is. I don't know where my kids are. I'm asleep.
Right.
Like, I'm not thinking about where they are, right? And there's a part there that I want to also emphasize where you mentioned about how their name is forgotten, I believe, right? And many times people have told me, oh, that means then, you know, does that mean that God forgets them? No, it doesn't mean that. But I mean, do you know your parents' names?
Right. Yes,
we do. You know your parents' names, right?
Yes.
Okay. How about your parents' parents or your grandparents?
No.
Okay. I'm going to keep going back.
Right.
How about your grandparents' parents' names? Do you know them?
No.
How about their parents' names?
No.
Right? So even going back, as we keep going, it gets lost throughout time, but for God, it's still as clear as day, right? Like, for God, it's not that he forgets them. But for us, I don't even know who, after my grandparents' parents, I don't even know who's beyond before that, right?
Yes.
And so that's what it means with that text. And I want to just bring courage, you know, encourage our listeners again. It doesn't mean that God has forgotten them or anything like that. It just means that, again, those that are alive, we have very finite brains, so we there's a limit to how much we can remember. But God, hey, he's infinite. He truly knows, and he remembers each and every single person.
Oh, yes, he does. doesn't forget about us, but Amen. Like but like what you said, we forget about our great grandparents, our grandparents, whatever parents helped taking care of us once we're dead and asleep. That's it, you know.
And so I'm looking at the time, Scott. It is 5:45. Do you think we have enough for one more, or?
Yeah, we can take one more. Once you grab a question out.
Sure. So one of the questions says, is it bad to still feel guilty after repenting? Is it bad to still feel guilty after repenting? What do you think about that one?
Oh, man. Is it bad to feel guilty after repenting?
I mean, I can resonate with that question. I know, you know, even after I've asked for forgiveness of my sins, and then I'm still there, and I'm like, Lord, please forgive me. Please. And I'm, even though I just literally asked for forgiveness, and I'm still like, Lord, forgive me, forgive me. So, yeah, what do you think, Scott? Like, is it still bad to feel, the question is it bad to still feel guilty after repenting?
Oh, okay, like the sin is still in you.
Not the sin is in you, but you still feel like, even though you've confessed it, you've given to God, but you still feel guilty that maybe God hasn't forgiven you yet.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, that's kind of what it is.
Man, you know what? I'm going to answer this call quick. I'll be right back.
Okay, so I'll go ahead and weigh in. So I know for many times for us as Christians, right, like, you know, we pray to God and we're like, Lord, forgive me. And after, we still feel like we have, like, we're not forgiven. And we're like, then we go back in prayer and we're like, Lord, forgive me. But I want to remind our listeners, you know, what the Bible says. 1 John 1:9. If you haven't memorized that, I recommend memorize that. That is one of those key texts. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if you believe that God truly does forgive you, right? So you've confessed it. Remember, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us, not from some, not from a little, but from all unrighteousness, right? All. So if we come to God and we're like, Lord, can you forgive me about that sin that I just... Now we're calling God a liar because we're thinking he hasn't forgiven us from the sin. But he has forgiven us, right? He has completely... And I know for us, we have that... And that's where it's that next step where we have to believe and have that faith and trust. Like, okay, Lord, I don't know how you can still forgive me. I don't know. I feel like I'm not forgiven, but I'm going to move forward knowing that... holding you or claiming the promise in the Bible that by confessing it to you that you forgive and cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
And you know, again, even for me, there are those sins that I still commit that I'm just like, Lord, how can you forgive me when I still do that? But again, it's that, Lord, okay, I'm going to claim the promise that by confessing to you, you are faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
Yes, he has mercy, merciful God.
Right, and that's where, you know, it is one where maybe it's also where, for us, we also need to forgive ourselves. And it's one where, now, don't get it arrogant, don't come puffed up and say like, oh, it's okay, I ask God to forgive me. And not that, but when you're still seeking God's will and you're just understanding that he does, you can claim his promises, right?
Yes.
And then that's where, in that dialogue, you're moving also in faith. Faith and works, they go line in line. And so for me, that's what I've done. I've had to say, Lord, I still feel like I'm not forgiven, but I'm going to trust in your word. I'm going to claim your promises, and I'm going to move forward and try to do better for you, Lord, and be faithful and continue walking with you.
Yes, right? Amen. Man, what a good question that was. Amen. And you know what? Whose question that was? I was just reading the notes on here. That question is from Amani.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah, nice question, Amani. Always got us thinking over
Amen.
Here.
Amen.
We have time just to elaborate a little bit. I mean, just to answer just a little question. Sure. We have about 5 more minutes.
Sure, sure.
A listener called it in. Okay, and he wants to know, is evil, is sin and evil the same thing?
Okay, is sin and evil the same thing?
Yes.
Well, what do you think, Scott?
Well, I'm going to say this because I had a head start on that question a little bit.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to say a sin is...
transgression of the law.
Yes. And evil is the opposite. Evil, on the other hand, is the opposite of good and refers to that which is base or evil in character, lonely, malignant, worthless, is what I'm getting.
Okay. And so you're saying it's opposite of
good.
Opposite of good.
Opposite of good.
I thought you said opposite of transgression of the law. Opposite of transgression of the good law.
Sorry. I was thinking the same thing when you said that.
Okay. So in a way, so what you're saying is that evil and sin are the same.
Oh.
I'm asking right. you.
Because Oh, no. No, I don't think evil and sin's the same.
Okay. And so elaborate. Why do you think that evil and sin are not the same?
Sin is like when evil is will be your... Oh. Right? Is your way of thinking like, wow. And then sin is like when you're thinking of doing something evil. Mm-hmm. Like not like an evil. It's like breaking the law, breaking a commandment.
Okay.
Which we all
So in a way you're saying that sin is that action? Is that what you're trying to say? Like kind of...
That's, yes. Okay. It's like an action.
Okay. But, you know, even Jesus himself said that if you even think or look, you're already committing the sin, right?
So, right.
So for me, it's one where I would categorize evil and sin as the same thing.
Oh, right? Okay.
Only because it's one where even if you, are thinking evilly, right? Like, oh, hey, I'm going to stab this person. Even though I haven't even done the act. Mm-hmm. As you know, when, for instance, when you're trying to get revenge, when someone has wronged you and then you're thinking so evil about them, I mean, at what point in that is that you kind of showing the love that Christ has for other people, right?
That's right.
So, yes. Same thing, but sin obviously is that next, it is action, it's sin, but it's also thought where it's transgression of the law, right? Thou shalt not kill,
right?
If you love other beings, mm-hmm. you're not going to just go and be like, hey, I love you, and then stab them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, it's one where you're always looking out for the care and the... So, in a way, it is one where... And, I mean, right now, and I'm glad for this question.
Yes,
right?
It's a great question. Making me think, too.
Because it is one where the way that I see how sin is, it's always going against the nature and character of God, along with the love for him as well as the love for people. Evil is one where it's they're two sides of the same coin. I know we've heard that phrase as often, but it's one where if the caller can give us some examples, some context to talk about.
Right.
Definitely, we welcome that.
Yes.
But at least for just in the limited, again, knowledge that I have now, that's what I would characterize. Right. Because I'm always thinking evil is one where you're out to harm someone. You're out to do things.
What I was thinking.
Even if it's selfish, like wanting to do things selfishly, like greed or anything like that, right? You're wanting just, it's still not, I don't know how you can be selfish and still showing love to God and showing love to others, right? That's why I'm having my mind. Right. It's a hard time to wrap about that. So, invite our caller, please. Let us. If you want to elaborate on that question, we definitely want to hear more about that. But
yes, we will. Well, that's our show. The time goes by when we're answering questions and looking through God's Word.
Amen. And great questions, everyone.
Yes.
Definitely please keep calling. We love to hear from you guys. And Scott, if you don't mind, let me say a quick word of prayer and then I'll let you.
Thank you.
Father God Almighty, Lord, just want to pray for our listeners and their families and be with them, Father. You know, those that are seeking your word and those that are looking for you. And Father God, just want to pray that they are able to know more about you each and every day. Help us always look forward to you. You know that we do this because we want to know you, the God who is love. So we pray all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, listeners, for your questions. And we'll see you next Monday for more Straight from the Bible. This is Scotty and...
Oh, sorry. This is Pastor Ryland.
Saying good night and good night, God bless you.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of Straight from the Bible. If you missed out on your question and would like to have it aired next time, you can also email us anytime at bible@joyfmradio.net. Submit them at online@joyfmradio.net or message us on Facebook at facebook.com/joyfmradio. Join us again next time for another edition of Straight from the Bible. Until then, may God bless you as you study His holy word, the Bible.